Day 13 of Nancy Guthrie missing in Tucson, Arizona. No press conferences, no body, thank God, no arrest. As the FBI boosts the reward to $100,000 and releases new physical descriptors of a person they're saying is a potential suspect, Pima County officials say, again, there's not going to be a press briefing today. No new public answers, just boots in the desert and a mother still missing. And oh, yeah. Harvey Levin says they just got another demand letter as he continues to become part of this crazy story.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
What's up, SDS Nation? Welcome to Surviving the Survivor. This is the global phenomenon, bringing you the very best guests in all of true crime. Hard to believe it is day 13 of Nancy Guthrie missing somewhere in the Sonoran Desert in and around Tucson. No one seems to know where she is, vanishing the night of January 31st into February 1st. Since then, we've had surveillance video released, reports of all sorts of gloves being recovered, including one in the home, but that was shot down, not to be the case. Focus intensifying on a backpack, a reward increase to $100,000. At least one person who was detained for a short time, who was then apparently not cleared, but released. And no one knows what that was all about. The FBI's video forensic analysis unit deployed, public friction becoming a big part of the story between the feds and Pima County. And we hear from Chris Nanos, the sheriff, tonight, here to help us break it all down. I've got to bring him up in order because Detective Phil Waters likes his spot. But first up, Detective Phil Ramos, retired homicide detective, Las Vegas police officer, three-time officer of the year, also undercover narcotics. Dr. Casey Jordan, an attorney. And she is host of Criminal Appeal, the podcast, host of Criminal Appeal. Check it out on YouTube. She's also a criminologist, a behaviorist, you name it, she's it. Greg Rogers, a retired FBI special agent who went deep undercover doing some wild work. And he was telling us off camera, the students still think he's deep undercover with the long hair, but looking handsome to me. And Phil Waters with an F-I-L. He likes to be in this spot at the bottom left. Don't ask me why. He's a man of creature, but I've got some OCD tendencies, so I understand. He is retired Houston homicide. He has investigated over 400 homicides. So before you go yelling at Phil or Phil, you better have at least 400 homicides under your belt if you're going to call him out in some crazy way, or I will call you out. Phil Ramos, let's get to you right off the bat. Harvey Levin back in this, and the COE is loading up sound. This is the absolute most recent information. A third email received by TMZ alleging another Bitcoin-related demand. Phil Ramos, again, this is now the third time that TMZ says it has received a note, not to the Pima County Sheriff, not to the FBI, not to NBC, where Savannah Guthrie worked, but to TMZ saying, you guys better pay up or there's going to be problems. What say you? Well, I think you're muted, Phil. Let's unmute you. I'm sorry. I don't know if the COE did that. There we go. Oh, we're not hearing you. I don't know why. So, Casey, let me jump to you while we get Phil. COE is going to sort you out, but Casey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Sure. Got you. Yes. Go ahead. What's going on here with Harvey Levin?
He is going to exploit every single thing about this case. It's just the nature of TMZ. There's no surprises here. But I think we have known, there's two extortionists going on here. The original ones who were originally sending demands for 4 million, 6 million Bitcoin to KOLD and KGUN and all the local Tucson news stations. Okay. And now, and apparently that wasn't getting on the news, like because they were doing the responsible ethical thing and turning those over directly to the FBI and the police. So then whoever was sending that stuff to the local news stations decided to send it to TMZ. The demand for 4 million, 6 million, no proof of life, just give us money. and obviously had the Guthrie family in tears. Now we have a second, if you ask me, extortionist. And they're like, oh, TMZ, that's the ticket. So they're just skipping KOLD. They're going straight to Harvey because they know that they can get this on the news. And they're going, give me a Bitcoin, $67,000. This is a few days ago. And this is definitely not the same people, the million-dollar Bitcoin people, all right? A totally different tone. There were specifics in the original ones. This one is just a rambling, demanding, whiny email to TMZ. And a few days ago, he's like, I know who did this. I don't want bad things to happen to me like it happened to Carlos. So I need a Bitcoin sent to me. They did confirm that the Bitcoin account is legit. And then we all started going, well, okay, $67,000, but it could just be you could just call the FBI and get the $50,000, you know, take a $17,000 discount and do the honorable good thing that anyone would do if they actually knew who was responsible for Nancy's disappearance. But no, the TMZ guy, he doesn't want to do that. Then the FBI doubled the reward. It went from $50,000 to $100,000, which would make you think the Bitcoin guy just got a $33,000 raise on his information and that he should call the FBI and call the police and tell them what he knows and get that $100,000 reward. But no, that's not enough. He now wants more. We don't know how much more. I think Harvey's going to let us know on TMZ. Listen, these are the facts as we know them, as they've come out over the last few days. This guy is a clown. He is a fraud. He's an extortionist exploiting a horrible situation. If he really had information, he would call the FBI, do the anonymous report, get the $100,000 and solve this immediately. There's no honor. He's going to get his Bitcoin and or more Bitcoins and still not give the information. And it just kind of rankles. Maybe it's because it's Friday the 13th and my heart is still with this Guthrie family that we have not heard from for a few days now. None of this is good for them. This is just destroying them. So I would like this guy to just go off into the sunset, not get a dime. And we don't want to hear about him on TMZ anymore. Give it to the FBI.
100%. Thankful to Mindful here. Greg is only with us till the bottom of the hour, and then we'll bounce out. But Greg, to you, there's not much, I don't think, that law enforcement can do. But whoever this is appears, according to Casey Jordan and just about everyone else, I think, including Phil Waters and Phil Ramos, to be a nuisance at this point. Can law enforcement, I don't know, do anything about this or ask Harvey Levin, you know, not to keep broadcasting this because it's becoming more of a sideshow circus than just a circus. It's to Casey's point, Phil Water, who I talked to off camera, becoming it's starting to impede the investigation. A lot of people think.
Yeah, no, I would. Unfortunately, with TMZ, all we can do is ask. But with the actual individual, I think we can get information with TMZ. If they'll provide it, that'd be great. If they won't, we can get it with warrants. We can identify this person, and he needs to be arrested for obstruction and taken out of the way because he's just, he's interfering and it's wasting a lot of investigative time to follow up any kind of, you know, I don't know this is the case, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's throwing out some small sort of fictitious leads to make himself look legitimate. And that has to stop. So we can identify this guy. There's all sorts of very technical forensics we could use to determine accounts that he's sending these messages from. We could put him down with the cooperation of TMZ or even without it, and with warrants. And we need to do that. We need to just get this guy out of the way.
I mean, Greg, I know you have to leave, so I'm going to just ask you another question here. Make sure you're getting your fair time. But
no worries.
I asked you about this last time, I believe, but is there a case in your career or otherwise reminiscent of this and the sort of circus-like atmosphere, the intensity of the media scrutiny that you can recall in recent years?
Yeah, and it's actually a little ways back, but in 2006, 2007, we worked a serial killer case, a guy named Joseph Duncan out of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And it was very similar. There were issues with the local sheriff who was running for re-election about who was going to do what. had a lot of those problems. We had massive media coverage. And I worked that case. I was in the Salt Lake City office at the time, and I was involved in that. And I was I see a whole lot of parallels when I saw the stuff about the Pima County Sheriff's Office today. I was just like, you got to be kidding me, man. It was our Kootenai County Sheriff in Coeur d'Alene at the time that we had similar issues with. And they're nonsensical. There's no reason to have those types of arguments. You just need to get the job done. And that's what needs to get done here. And, you know, sending DNA to a private lab in this kind of case is nonsense. You send it to Quantico. You have world-class guys that are going to testify at trial about what they found. Those kind of arguments are, they just shouldn't be happening. There's no good motive for having that dispute.
COE, please check on this. There's reports in the chat that SWAT has been deployed again. So let's try to, I don't see it on the usual places I'm looking. Let's see if we can confirm that. But we might have some, could be a rock and roll Friday here. Let's hope they're on the move to get somebody finally. Phil, are you back? You have us?
I got you. Do you got me?
Yeah, we've got you and Waters. You're there. Let me just play. I've got Harvey Levin here. I have a feeling things are going to get bonkers. Let me play this, and then we'll get Phil and Phil's take.
Obtained a third email from the man who claims he knows the identity and the location of Nancy Guthrie's kidnapper, and he has now upped his demand. We know it is the same person who wrote the other two notes because the Bitcoin address is identical. So he says that he is going through TMZ because he does not trust law enforcement. He's essentially saying, you don't trust me and I don't trust you. What he is suggesting is by the FBI upping the reward to $100,000, it was designed to discredit him. He says, quote, to discredit me. So what he is saying is he now wants the following. He wants one fraction of a Bitcoin worth $50,000. And for that, he says he will give up the name and location of the kidnapper. He says he will not cash that until the kidnapper is actually arrested. And then he expects the second Bitcoin fraction, another $50,000. So he wants the $100,000 reward, he says, but he wants it in this form and not simply coming forward to authorities. He has a variety of reasons on why he doesn't want to come forward to authorities, one of which is interesting. He says it's because that it could compromise his possible freedom. Now, we don't know what that means. Does that mean that he is peripherally associated with this kidnapper? He does not explain what that means, but he says it in this email. Now, there's something really important here that he says that when he gets the initial payment, and this is a quote, he will give up, quote, the name of the main individual, the main individual. So clearly he is suggesting, and he did insinuate this before, but he is saying it squarely here, the main individual. That means if this is legit, he has accomplices. So he does refer to the current state of Nancy Guthrie. We are not going to get into what that is. We have forwarded this on to the FBI. They asked for it and we gave it to them. We received this email just before noon Pacific time Friday today. So again, the third email, he says this time, this is it, that it's his final time to approach anybody. The third time is it. Now, remember, he said that last time too, but he says he's coming forward now because of the increase in the ransom reward. And we will see. The authorities.
Enough of that. Phil Waters, someone said your face says it all. So what does your mind say?
Well, we've already spent about 20 minutes talking about this jerk off.
Yeah. 15, but fair.
He's doing nothing to enhance this investigation. This is all about him and about clicks. This is actually the third. I agree with Casey completely. And this is actually the third would-be extortionist, because they've already got one guy that's been charged and in custody and has already gone been through the court system. So Levin is all he is doing is leveraging this. He's making this thing sensational for his own purposes. And one, I don't believe these notes have one thing to do with the other. So we need to quit spending time on this jerk off and let's get on to the real finding Ms. Guthrie and solving this case, whatever it is.
Amen to that. I mean, Phil Ramos, one thing he says in there really irked me, and I made a comment in real time. I mean, he's like, and by the way, we decided, or didn't decide, but we handed this off to authorities. Well, maybe you should be handing it off before you go on air and read the entire thing. I mean, Phil Ramos, the guy is starting to look really foolish here. In my opinion, as a former broadcast news guy, even if I had this at this point, I would not be going to air with it. I would just be handing this off to law enforcement, because I would know what a distraction it is. This guy's in the 30-mile zone, as I think Laura Petler taught us all, which is the Hollywood celebrity zone there, and he can't seem to get out of his way with this now.
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high-stress guy, because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Yeah, you know, I concur with everybody. I mean, this guy's just a clown. We should find out his shoe size and send him those big red clown shoes you see at Halloween, because it's ridiculous. I mean, there's no common sense to it. If this guy was legitimate, and that's a huge if, why didn't he mention the traffic stop of the temporary detainment of the one individual? If he was part of this and knew the players, that would have given him maybe 1% credibility, but he didn't say anything about it. He hasn't said anything about the investigation to date. All he's saying is, I know who did it, and I'll tell you, just give me a lot of money. Go buy a balloon somewhere, man.
And I mean, Greg, to you, this guy, whoever this is, sending in these demand notes, with the full resource of the FBI, why can't they pinpoint who this quote unquote clown is and just get him locked up and say goodbye to him?
We can, and we need to do that quickly. It's you know, we have a Bitcoin address. We have things we can digitally trace. We've got emails to TMZ. My guess is, and strong hope is that they're actually in the process of doing that. This guy needs to be taken out of the picture. And I think after today, hopefully people are deciding that, you know, that's got to happen, and it's got to happen sooner rather than later. He can be, this guy's not savvy. I can assure you that we could track him down, and we need to get that done. I think he might have just been a distraction up to this point, and there was probably some effort to verify whether he was legitimate or not. I think we've clearly verified that he's not, and Phil made a really good point. You know, he could have gotten all sorts of street credibility if, as soon as the guy the delivery driver was pulled over, if he would have contacted somebody and said that guy's got nothing to do with it, that'd have been knocking it out of the park. But he didn't do that. And so he's we need to get him out of the way, and the FBI can. And I'm hoping that's something they're working on as we speak.
And Greg, I mean, in your experience in high profile cases, do you often get these like hanger on these leeches who try to profit, if it's, you know, in this case, a ransom, either financially or through, you know, through public attention, they try to profit off these cases?
I would say, and I don't think it's an overstatement, I never worked a single high profile case that we didn't have people doing that. It's not just common. It's almost omnipresent. It happens in every case. It happened in Duncan. It happened in Israel Keyes, if you remember that case out of Alaska, that serial killer. In all those types of cases, this is going on. When people come up missing, folks are contacting, send them ransom letters, calling victims' families. I mean, this is tragically, there are a lot of really bad folks out there that will try to take advantage of these situations. And it happened in every single major case I was in, and it's happening in this one.
Did you work the Israel Keyes case?
I had some really tangential leads to follow up because he had, they thought at one point that he'd come through Texas, a part I was working in at the time. So I wasn't the case agent at all. Those were Alaska case agents that were working that, and they did a great job, but I just followed some leads on that case.
I don't want to put any more, you know, fuel on this fire, but Dr. Jordan, TMZ is also releasing a story that they're now getting involved with helping authorities match jackets. And so they think they know the windbreaker that this guy was wearing. Look at Phil. Phil don't have an aneurysm.
Why don't we move on and talk about Ms. Guthrie? I'm tired of talking about this guy.
I like you. Let me just mention it, though. It's an AERO hex windbreaker. Casey Jordan, I mean, at least that could be helpful, but I don't know that we know that that's the case. But again, you're a criminologist. What's going on here? Like, why are they trying to be the police and the media here?
I hate to take it back to the fact that we all love Savannah Guthrie, right? Mm. And if this were anybody else's mother, I don't know that we would have this media circus. But because we all feel like we've started our mornings with the Today Show for many, you know, 15 years, I think Savannah has been the anchor there. And we feel like we know her, even though we don't. You know, the public is obsessed with this because they are rooting for Nancy to come home. And it's become larger than life. It's become like a movie. We've never seen a case like this. I don't know, not in my career. And I hate to just, you know, are we part of the problem? I don't know. I want to talk about this just like the Phils and just, you know, like Roger. Like, we want to talk about how is the investigation going? What can we expect based on the behavior of similar cases, known cases? What is typical? And, you know, at this juncture, we have turned this into a media circus because we're all still watching. And certainly TMZ doesn't help. I was thinking the other day, you know, even if this gets solved, and I do believe we will figure out who the guy on the porch is. I think we're going to get close. But now that we know what the jacket is, now that we know he's 5'9", 5'10", which I said the very second I saw the video, he's 5'10", he weighs 165. I don't know. They got to get experts to confirm it, set up white tents, you know, measure the bricks, measure the floor tiles, and then come back and say, mathematically, we can confirm Dr. Jordan is right. He's 5'10". The point is, they're wasting valuable time. It took him 2 days on the backpack. Reddit people had it day one. Okay. The jacket he's wearing. Great. Now we know the jacket. I don't know why it took 2 days. The jacket, the backpack, he's 5'10". We've got sketch artists putting things out on Facebook. Yes, the public will solve this with their tips, but we just need them to come out with a one pager saying, here's the guy we're looking for. Check your cameras, which they should have done 10 days ago. We're just now having the neighbors check their cameras, you know, and we're sending the gloves off. And we now have this dust up, a territorial prerogative. Is it FBI or is it the sheriff? And this is not good. None of this is good for the investigation. And I think at this point, we're rooting for this Guthrie family, and we want answers. I'm actually hoping that after this weekend, if there's no news, typically in the media, you have a 2-week tipping point, and if nothing big happens, it starts to fade. Mm. And I'm actually hoping that's what happens. Give the public a need to know what suspect we're looking for. Let us have any more video if you get it. And other than that, let's let the Guthrie family start dealing with the reality that they may never have answers, which is just heartbreaking.
Yeah. And Casey, I'll argue that news cycle has even shortened more dramatically. I'm shocked that we're 13 days in and it's still like center stage on every channel. I think that has to do with the ego, by the way, of media itself, since this is about one of their own, just making the announcement. You know, anytime it snows a lot in New York City, it becomes the lead news because they all live and work in New York City. So it's important because it has to do with them. And maybe similarly here, because it's about one of their own, a news anchor. That's why we're getting the amount of attention that we are getting. Magical Mary here. Could it be a robbery gone bad? Empty bags and a backpack. This is something that Phil Ramos has said all along. Now, Phil Waters, Matt Finn, I used to work with him at Fox News. He spoke to Sheriff Chris Nanos today. We're going to have sound in a minute. The COE is uploading it. But Matt Finn talked to him about a wide range of issues since he has been in the news. You see this. I did a wide ranging interview with Pima County Sheriff. I have a little part of it here. He says, Nanos does, that he does not think his department released the Nancy Guthrie crime scene too quickly. He does not regret the timing of turning it back to the family. Nanos said they got what they needed out of the house. On the blood on the doorstep, he says it's not law enforcement's role to clean it. Is he being defensive? Is he in damage control mode? You buy him. What he's saying? Phil Waters.
About what the sheriff said?
Yeah, he's saying that he didn't clear and release the scene a minute too early.
Well, we've talked about this before. So I would say.
Phil is spicy today, yes.
Well, I really don't want to insult anybody, especially anybody that's here today.
Bring it. Bring it.
Well, you know, it's not. I'm going to say I respectfully disagree with some of the things that have been alluded to in terms of why doesn't the FBI take this over? Mm. It's because it's not the FBI's case. It belongs to the Pima County Sheriff's Office. And the sheriff is the face of the investigation. He is the one that's making the decisions about the investigation related to what his detectives are briefing him and the FBI that has been brought in to supplement and support the investigation with resources that they have, the Pima County Sheriff's Office does not. Early on, if the DNA samples were sent to this lab that sheriff's office has been working with, according to the sheriff, for decades, then so be it. And it doesn't mean because the FBI comes in that all of a sudden they're supposed to acquiesce everything to the FBI. So to remain some consistency in the testing of the evidence that they have, I can understand why he wants to remain with the horse that brung it. So I don't find any problem with that. As far as disagreements within the time, look, I've been in a kidnapping where we had several different agencies represented. HPD was not the lead agency. It was a local sheriff's office that was, and we sat in a room, which I'm sure these folks are doing, with the FBI Houston, with FBI out of Texas City, with the sheriff's office that was represented there, and HPD, and another smaller PD that was within the county that the sheriff's office represented. And I said in this meeting, wanted to make it clear that the lead agency in here was the sheriff's office. It's none of us, not the rest of us. So we have to set our egos aside and recognize that they're the ones running this investigation. And everything that we bring to it has to be run through them. And that means we sit in a room, everybody's in there, and everybody puts in whatever they've got to offer. So this, and this business about arguing and blocking evidence and that kind of nonsense. So you look and see where this comes from. Some law enforcement source. They never name them. And it just pisses me off when they do this crap. If they're not going to name the source, then they don't need to be naming what the source is telling them, supposedly. This just irritates the crap out of me with some kind of investigation like this. It's already difficult enough without having all these ridiculous distractions. So I have no doubt that they're all talking, they're all sitting there. This stuff isn't happening in little different areas in a vacuum. This is a big investigation with a lot of moving parts. And I don't see anything at this point where the sheriff's office is not working in concert with the FBI and vice versa. So people need to quit getting wrapped around the axle about this stuff. And it, like I said, I'm going to come because I've been in it. And I know what they're going through. So having said all that, iron sharpens iron. And if there is conflict in these investigations, I'm telling you, they're using that to meet this stuff out, to get this stuff out, get through it, and let's see what we come up with. There's a lot of voices in here giving their perspective about the evidence, about what should they do, where should they go from there. And in terms of the keyboard detectives that are going to solve this thing and why didn't they release the stuff about the backpack, look, they know more than we know. They know more things than we knew before we knew it. So they have a strategy in an investigation, and they make tactical decisions within that strategy. So they're going to make sure this backpack thing, they're going to make sure. They're not going to release something like that if they're not sure. And it doesn't make any difference if you've got a bunch of people on a keyboard looking at an internet screen. We knew it. Well, okay, wonderful for you. But I'm telling you, people, I'm looking at this thing through the eyes of a homicide cop who's been involved in these types of investigations. And I know these guys, the detectives, the FBI agents, and all these support, they are in concert and they're working together for a purpose, and that's to find Ms. Guthrie and find the people that did whatever they did to her. That's their focus. It's not satisfying the egos of a bunch of people watching on an internet.
Look at this.
My rant is over.
I love it. Someone's calling you Feisty Phil. I like that name for you. I call you Uncle Phil, but I like Feisty Phil. Hey, Kev here says the attention junkie from TMZ is worth millions. That's Harvey Levin. Why doesn't he just step up and buy this guy a Bitcoin and tell him to get lost? Not a bad idea. Greg Rogers, I know you have to go. You have enough, experience in high profile cases. Are they going to crack this, Greg? Is it going to happen sooner than later? Your final thoughts here.
I'm a little concerned when you're up in the reward and other things like that and asking for the public's help. To be just really candid, that means we need the public's help, and that means we're not operating on really solid tips right now. So I'm very concerned about that. And I'm also extremely concerned that there doesn't appear to be any really solid proof of life verification yet. And that's got me very concerned. We're way too many days into this for that. That doesn't mean there hasn't been, and they haven't released that. I don't want to say, but I'm a little concerned about those two factors. So I'm sure hopeful, but again, being really candid and just being honest with you, if I was being up front, I'm concerned that this is going to go on for a bit.
Well, Greg, as long as we have concern, we're going to continue to call on you. Have a wonderful weekend. I might ruin it with a call tomorrow, but...
No. Anytime. I'm sorry I had to run today. It's always a pleasure talking to you all. Nice meeting you, folks.
Good meeting you, Greg.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your service. Thank you. COE, I'm going to need your help here, because if you look in the chat, there's a couple of breaking situations, one regarding DNA in the home, one regarding a SWAT truck deployment. Let's see if we can confirm that. Everyone, this is 13 days old, but it's still extremely fluid. A lot of false information, some correct information. Let's hang tight before we pivot in any way. And if we find out that there actually is a SWAT truck deployment, we'll either get a video or we'll talk about what is going on as soon as we can confirm it. The COE knows the drill and she's on it. We do have, when I see confirmed info, I'll let you know, lots of rumors. Yes, thank you. This now is Sheriff Chris Nanos in his own words. He spoke to KBOA, the NBC affiliate. For full disclosure, my good friend Matt Broad's a weatherman there. They spoke to him. I think this is only audio that's part of a news package, but this is straight from the horse's mouth. Let's watch.
And Sheriff Nano says this report is not even close to the truth. He describes the relationship between the FBI and the Pima County Sheriff's Department as a partnership that spans decades. Nano says that a private lab that the Sheriff's Department has used for years in Florida is doing the work in this case pro bono. He says that lab has all the DNA profiles from the crime scene and from those given voluntarily. He tells me discussions were had with the FBI this morning about possibly sending recently found gloves to the Bureau's lab.
Actually, the FBI just wanted to send the one or two they found by the crime scene closest to it, mile and a half. They really wanted to send those. And I said, you know, why do that? Let's just send them all to where all the DNA exists, all the profiles and markers exist. Let's just send it there. They agreed. Yeah, it makes sense.
You heard Nanos there talking about sending them all in. He's referring to the many gloves that have been found during the search effort so far. He is saying that all of those gloves should be tested at the Florida lab. He declined to say how many have been found, but said gloves have been found as far west as Oracle and as far east as Craycroft. Sean, Nano stressed to me that every decision in this case is being discussed with the FBI, and he's welcoming critique, but he says that's for after this case is done. For now, he says the focus is on finding Nancy Guthrie.
Good job by Jacob Owens, young reporter in Tucson. Someone here says Waters is a national treasure. They got to put him up on Mount Rushmore. They're carving that goatee right now. A huge, huge shout out, by the way, to Frankie Figs and Vesper Martini. We've got great mods. The two of them going above and beyond the last couple of days. Also, I got to say thanks to COE, the chief of everything, my wife. Also, Space Coast on the West Coast, Steve Cohen. Everyone doing yeoman's work, as they say. I have no idea what a yeoman is. Someone let me know in STS Nation, but I do know the phrase. Phil Ramos, to you, here's something else that's interesting. This is now the Daily Mail reporting off the backs. This just crossed, too. Now, this is in response, apparently, to Fox News interviewing Chris Nanos. A few people talked to him today. According to Daily Mail, Savannah Guthrie reportedly told the under fire sheriff, Chris Nanos, that she, quote unquote, is a quote, doesn't need him, that he has come under flak for the investigation, and that, quote unquote, she has her own people and didn't need him. I don't know. I find this hard to believe. It's out there in the public now. This is now Chris Nanos, the sheriff, telling Fox News that this is what Savannah Guthrie said to him. You buying this? That she's like, I don't need you guys? I mean, at an hour of desperation, as she put it?
Well,
is she that frustrated?
I don't think it's a matter of being frustrated. I think it's a matter of just her reaction to the uncertainty of what's going on. You know, the reality is they have to start accepting the facts of what is really going on here. We don't have anything solid to go on. It's been 2 weeks. The odds of her being okay are getting slimmer every day. I think that they're probably so concerned, and maybe they're secretly accepting that the reality of this, of the facts of the situation, and this is their way of venting it. I can't see Savannah saying something like that to the sheriff. Maybe that got passed on to him, but that goes back to, you know, you got to consider the source, and the bottom line is that's what the department heads are realizing. They have to do that. You can't let it trickle down to the boots on the ground, because, you know, those guys are out there kicking bushes and trying to find some evidence. So it's the inherent difficulty of being a department head when you have to deal with people like that. But look at the circumstances. I mean, we're all wondering what the heck's going on, how much longer this is going to happen. And we're in a particular quandary because we've all been there. We know what the inevitability is likely to be. But, you know, everybody has their fingers crossed and hoping for a very unlikely result. But the frustration with that family, I can't even imagine the frustration that Savannah and her siblings are going through. It's my heart goes out to them. Typically, we would have had much more progress than this, which goes to what a difficult crime this is. So it's hard to say. I just can't see a professional like her, even though her emotions are running as high as they are, and saying something like that. I think she's probably reacting to all this nonsense that's being put out about, you know, the higher ups.
And, you know, there was a report that they hired private investigators, and that report was dialed back in that they did. And I personally can't imagine them saying that. I wouldn't want to say that publicly or privately, but definitely not publicly. If my mother is missing, to the agency looking for them, Cammy Day here gifting 5 memberships. And then Waters has competition from the other Phil. Ramos is a national treasure. They're going to have to build a new Mount Rushmore of homicide. That'd be pretty cool, actually. South Dakota builds another Mount Rushmore of homicide detectives. But Casey Jordan, that report we just listened to from KVOA, it's wide ranging, as we said. But this is now the Fox News portion. The other reporter was local. Fox News is confirming through the sheriff that his office did not find a glove at Nancy's home. That was being reported yesterday. So there's all kinds of misinformation. And the sheriff tells Matt Finn of Fox News, we have no glove. We never found a glove on that property. And what he was talking about in that audio is that he says they've been using the same contracted private lab for decades, long before he was in office. He says his office started sending the Guthrie evidence to that lab, which I think is in Florida, from the start, and that the Guthrie family DNA and other DNA swabs are over in that lab. So it just made sense to him to keep going to the lab. Nanos claims the FBI was totally on board with this. So he says, we trust the FBI's crime lab. We've used them before, but in this case, we've just started with that lab. It's that simple. Do you buy that?
I'm going to agree that the optics don't look good to the general public, but hey, we don't really get to vote, do we? I mean, this is not up to us. And it does make sense that on the very first day when they started looking for DNA in Nancy's house, they would have taken DNA samples from the entire family for comparison. And before the FBI ever got there, these were sent to Florida. Okay, because that is their go-to lab. So now that he's explaining it, and I'm sure he's frustrated having to explain this to people who don't understand how the procedure works, it makes total sense that everything would go to that lab because they have the baseline DNA profiles that we need to compare things to, right? And they can at any point start collaborating with the FBI's forensics lab in Quantico. You know, the CODIS information is available to all these labs. I think that the media thrives on conflict and they're really looking for it here. And they want to be like, okay, FBI is like the king of handling all kidnappings. We need to let the FBI do this. And, you know, it's probably easy for everybody out here to go, well, how many kidnappings has the sheriff handled? Let's let the FBI do it because, you know, we've all been watching the FBI on TV since the 1950s, FBI. And the truth is that it's his territory and he knows the players and he knows the people and he knows the lab. And so I think he's a little put out having to explain it to everybody, but I think that was really smart just to get all the naysayers backing down. Yeah. Okay. The FBI is supposedly the gold standard. I don't know this lab, but if they're doing it gratis, and I don't know why they would do it gratis, unless they're really just trying to get their name out there. There is, you can't even make the argument that the FBI would do it for free if the Florida lab is doing it free. So maybe that's their gift to the Guthrie family and to the investigation, just so there is no ruffled feathers. Hey, dudes, let's not make this about the money. We will do this gratis because we want this investigation to move forward without anything. But the short answer, honestly, Joel, is that media loves a conflict, so we like creating one. And by the way, Daily Mail, not the New York Times. Consider the source. Get it from the horse's mouth. If the sheriff wants you to know it, he will get on the news and say it himself. If Savannah wants you to know she doesn't like the sheriff, she will make a video and post it to her Instagram. Until you get it from the horse's mouth, take everything with a grain of salt.
100%. I agree with that. It's out there, so I'd like to discuss it for the most part if it is public. Phil Ramos, to you, and then back to Waters, and around we go here. But the sheriff also spoke to Matt Finn, and he said, on the topic of whether or not this is an illegitimate kidnapping or something else, the sheriff says, and I quote here, can I find it in here? I can't. He says, and I quote, "We believe it's a kidnapping, but you always consider all possibilities. Nobody is ever really eliminated when asked if anybody is ruled out, but it does sound like he's acting or investigating under the assumption that this is a real kidnapping. I know you think it could be a home invasion. Is he correct to investigate with this belief in mind?"
The reality is you're going to investigate it the same, whether it's a kidnapping, whether it's an abduction, whatever it is, you're still going to put the same high quality investigation into it. What the end results are, you may end up figuring that out while you're investigating the crime, but you could certainly say we're investigating this as a kidnapping. An abduction could be an element of a kidnapping for ransom, but the differences there are so minute as far as what the specifics of each crime are that you're not going to change your tactics and your method of investigating just because one definition doesn't comply with the other. You still do your best investigation and the chips are going to fall where they fall. You gather the same evidence, you interview the same people, you go to the same locations, you do everything the same, regardless of the classification of the crime at this level.
Thank you for that, Phil Ramos. Phil Waters, we keep going with this latest interview. Well, let's go to what's on the screen here because it's up there. So, Phil Waters, if you can see it, have you been able to clear any of the Guthrie family members? This is from Matt Finn of Fox News. "Everyone's been very cooperative with us. They are under tremendous pressure and tremendous grief. I think cooperative and cleared are two different things. They are not cleared as of now. Nobody is cleared." That sounds like an experienced detective or law enforcement at work. What do you make of that? Do you read anything between the lines there at all, Phil Waters?
Well, the sheriff, Nanos, is a detective in his career. I think he's got a 40-year career going. He was a detective. I think he started out at El Paso PD. He was a detective there. He went to Pima County Sheriff's Office. He was a detective there. He ended up being the commander over their investigative division. So he's got some experience in investigations. And, you know, the faux pas he may have made and so forth and so on, I think where his lack of experience is a high profile case trying to make the optics look right. And, you know, he finds himself in a situation he's never been in before. So he's prone to making these errors and things that he is saying. Now, I've got a question about this business about what Samantha Guthrie told it. Is that coming from Nanos Supposedly?
Supposedly, yes. Like that.
And
that,
who said it was coming from Nanos?
This is it's in the Daily Mail, but it's coming from the Matt Finn interview that he did with Chris Nanos. So I don't know if they're using like verbatim sound that came out of the Matt Finn interview.
Well, or this Matt Finn guy, did he record the interview? Because these guys are going to record interviews.
I'm sure that they recorded on camera. I'm sure they did.
Then I'm with Casey. You know, until I hear those words come out of Sheriff Nanos's mouth, there's no credibility to it. And I don't know Savannah. Casey, you said you knew Savannah, right?
Yeah, well,
see her saying something like that to the sheriff?
No, and not only that, but even though Savannah doesn't ever lead with this, she's an attorney. She went to law school. Yeah. She understands how these things work.
Right.
I knew her when she was on the desk at Court TV in the mid-90s. She anchored our legal news desk. She was a prolific researcher and reporter. So I don't see, you know, Savannah is a very intelligent human who knows a lot about the law. She understands that he is the man of the hour, that this is his case. And I cannot see her ever saying that to him. Yes, she could be frustrated. Yes, she could be off the cuff. Yes, she could be thinking things aren't moving fast enough and maybe she needs to get her private detectives. But I don't think she would just go to the sheriff and go, I don't need you anymore. You're fired. That's not Savannah.
Well, she doesn't have the capacity to do that anyway. But
no, but I just don't. She knows how things work. Yeah.
Right. If she has hired private investigators, and I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just telling you, I work cases with people with money. They've been watching too much freaking television and they think they can move these along at the pace that they want to move. And that's just not reality. They think that money can buy them a result and it does not. So I have had private investigators show up into my office to discuss the case. I have welcomed them into the office. I've sat them down in the area that we call the circle of trust, where my hooch was, and got them a cup of coffee. We sat and chatted about the weather. And then I told them, I appreciate you stopping by, but we are not discussing anything about this case with you. And it's in all due respect. It's an open investigation, and we are not going to compromise the integrity by involving a third party outside the loop of law enforcement investigations. It's just not going to happen. And then I would warn them, look, be careful where you tread. Because if we find out that you are interfering, if you go and find somebody that you think needs to be talked to or interviewed, and you take it upon yourself to do that first without notifying us, you're going to be in a world of hurt. There'll be a problem here. Because if you go to that person and you compromise that interview, because typically you only get one bite at the apple in an interview with people that are suspects. So caution needs to apply here. And that's what I would, and not in a mean way, I would just tell them, here's the reality. And not one of them disagreed with. They understood it going into it. And I have had phone calls from people, now that I'm a private investigator, wanting me to do the same thing. And here's what I will tell them. I am not taking their money to go get involved in an investigation that is still open and still the responsibility of law enforcement. Because I am not going to get in there and appear to be interfering with what they're doing or going out and try to talk to somebody that they may not have spoken with. I wouldn't do that anyway. I would notify them that this is a person they might want to go talk to first, but I won't take their money. Now, they'll find PIs out there that will, that are more than happy to take that money and not do a dadgum thing for them. Mm-hmm. So this business about PIs and all this, and that is something that happens more often than not. And the sheriff's office is handling that as well, I'm sure. So folks need to take a breath here. And I don't know Savannah Guthrie, but I tell you what, I know about her history with Court TV and that kind of thing. And she knows, but there is a different, There's a difference in being having an understanding of the system and the way these things work, and then being in the big fat middle of it. It's a whole different world. I hope this conversation didn't take place. I just her demeanor. I don't know her, but her demeanor doesn't say to me that she would say something like that. And what would be the buildup to that?
I agree,
Phil. It had to be something that built up to, if she said it. So I'm hoping that didn't happen. And the sheriff is right. It is just as important to clear people, to eliminate suspects, as it is to find the right one. And right now, nobody's been cleared. Nobody has been. And that doesn't mean anything in the big scheme of things, except that nobody's been cleared. And the evidence that they have, and I think Phil and I don't know if Casey was involved in that discussion or not, but Phil and I from the beginning, and we follow evidence. We don't follow emotions. We don't follow what we think may have happened. We follow evidence. And we develop an opinion or an observation based on the evidence that we see. And we know we don't see it all. But I don't think from the very beginning of this thing, when that blood appeared on that front entryway and went out to the driveway, I don't think Ms. Guthrie was carried out of that house alive. Mm. Now, that's just my opinion based on the evidence. And I'm afraid it is a good thing that they looked at this as a kidnapping, because it did bring these resources in from the FBI. And they could have asked for the resources anyway. But they processed that scene as though a murder occurred there. That's how that scene is being processed, in the event that that's what it turns out to be. And we've talked about that before. So again, we can all look back and say, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but you know what? They're following the evidence. They're letting it lead them where they need to be. They're getting probable cause to draft these search warrants. Remember, judges have to sign off on this stuff. This doesn't just happen like on television where they just, you know, go kick a door and here we are. So, you know, I'm impressed with the methodical way in which this investigation is being conducted. And they are releasing necessary parts of it to the public to elicit, you know, solicit their help in the way that they should be doing it. And so I, at this point, and you cannot control the results. So things are being done in a way that kind of makes sense. Now, I've seen this. I don't know if we're going to talk about it, but this other video that came out with the guy with the Ring camera, where it looks like he's got a couple of backpacks and that thing. And so what's that, Casey?
He's been totally cleared.
Okay. Totally. So, but when I first read that when I saw that, I'm thinking, well, that's something that's pretty awesome. And then I read where the FBI collected it on a canvas, and then I see where TMZ is the one that got it. Hmm. And I'm just like, so here we have the TMZ factor again. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this interference over here, this all this noise that's being created with this TMZ bunch, if Savannah wants to be mad at anybody, it's them. Because they are causing a lot of confusion. And if they are the ones that produce that video, a lot of confusion, because now what that amounts to is the FBI, the sheriff's office, they've got to run that lead down and clear that guy out. And apparently, according to Casey, that's what's happened. But those are things they've got. What? How many tips have they got now?
They're getting like 4,000 tips a day, I've heard, since.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. Right?
18,000. Yeah.
And they have to track all those down. Look, they have to do a triage on those freaking tips. Yeah. These are the ones that sound the most credible. Here's one that might be, and here's the ones that are just losers. But they've got to triage all those things, and they've got to go out and track them down. Yeah. So this is just not a simple investigation, simple operation. And to Casey's point about if it wasn't Savannah Guthrie's mom, we probably would, we wouldn't be hearing about this. Mm-hmm. There is some truth to that. However, I would say the other side of that same coin is that the effort being made would be the same. I worked kidnappings that were high profile in Houston. They didn't hit a national level, but I can tell you the same amount of effort and the same number of hours and the same resources were put into that investigation. And we ended up finding, of course, the person was not alive, and it was a recovery. Yeah. But my point is that when you have a case like this, whether it's high profile or it's a regular person, for lack of a better term, the same effort is made in those investigations to have the best possible outcome. And sometimes the best possible outcome is recovery of a body and a successful prosecution.
Yeah. Willow Armadillo, thank you so much, gifting 10 memberships that will get distributed out. Phil Ramos, I mean, to that point, how in the world do you chase down 4,000 leads coming in a day? And apparently it was like close to 18,000 initially after that video came out. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, are there enough people? You've got like the custodian in your department looking through stuff. What's going on? We're going to get to this. There's a new sheriff video that just dropped per the COE. But Phil, how do you chase down these leads?
Phil's right. You got to triage them. You got to, everybody that knows how to decipher a lead, and whether it's a good lead or a lead, or it's just a out there howling at the moon lead, you got to have people sort through them and you prioritize them. And the ones that have the more legitimacy to them, those are the ones that get passed on to the investigators and the detectives, because they're doing other stuff and they don't have time to sit there and go through lead after lead after lead. You've got investigative assistants, you've got civilian personnel that are sorting through them, and they got different stacks. But to go through every single $14,000 or 14,000 leads, it's just not possible, man. It's just not possible unless you can scan each one into a database on a computer and have the computer spit out which ones are going to be worth something. Human AI, you can't do that. Yeah, AI. Yeah.
I lost the comment, but in light of the fact that Ramos and Waters were being escalated to Mount Rushmore status, there was someone named Kit who said, "I love listening to these grandpas." So that made me laugh, because
there's some truth in that. I look at Phil and I as bookends.
Yeah,
that's how I look at it. Mount Rushmore, we're just bookends.
Man. Anyone with grayish hair who's over 50, in my kid's eyes, is a grandpa or a grandma. So, right. By the way, we've got a naked grandpa in our neighborhood who walks around in a thong, only in Miami. My kids love that person. COE, let this rip, please, for naked grandpa. This is now a brand new interview here.
Okay. Who has the lead? We have the lead. We being the FBI and the Pima County Sheriff's Department. This is a joint operation. I said that from the very first day we got here. There was some clamor about, the sheriff should have called the FBI sooner. We got done with that scene probably around 7-8 o'clock that morning. By 9 o'clock, the FBI had been talking with us, and we gave them, we asked their assistance for some digital analysis to be done on some equipment there. We know their capabilities, they're stronger than ours. But in the same sense, we took all the other evidence, biological evidence, maybe DNA, maybe fingerprints, whatever. We took that and sent it to our lab. There was no issue about, whose lab is better. That was never the case, or cost. This penny, you're not putting a penny on this. We will do whatever we have to. But to the credit of our corporation partners, so many of them, including our lab, have said, "Sheriff, whatever you need, pro bono." So I don't know where all that came from, and I don't care. But what I do care about is we have a relationship to maintain with our partners, all of our law enforcement partners. I think this community knows I stood up our Pima Regional Critical Incident Team. We now know that it doesn't just handle officer-involved shootings. It handles critical incidents. And we also include our federal partners, Border Patrol, FBI, DEA. We've always worked well with those teams, and we continue to. The Gabby Gifford shooting is something I headed up. It's not, this isn't like new to us. We if there's evidence to find, to go out and look for, a deputy and an FBI agent goes and looks. If there's a lead to follow up on or an interview conduct, an FBI agent and a deputy go handle that. We have over 3,000 leads between the two agencies. That's a big task, and no lead is going to be dismissed. None. We will look at all of them. But with that, we have 400 different cops out on the street right now, 24/7. I can't stress hard enough. These young men and women are working their tails off to find Nancy. That's the focus that needs to be there. I can't worry about the distractions and people, you know, the haters are going to hate. People will come out from previous elections and say what they say. That's okay. We have elections. That's a good thing. But this isn't about that. This is about someone's life is at risk. We need to be out looking for her. And so we are, and we have. We've done quite a bit. We've got some great leads because of the media, the help from the media, and because of our community, the calls. Like I say, that little video, that video that went out of the man at the front door, that guy, that's who we're looking for. Somebody out there knows him. Somebody out there knows him. We need to know who that is.
The delay in these news conferences, why? You were doing them more frequently.
No, so there's the, let me stop you there. So 9 o'clock on Monday morning, they have just finished their processing the scenes and briefed me. And now I get phone calls from the media. The local media knows. You all know. You could call me and I'll sit down with you anytime. So I'm starting to see some national media calling. I said, well, we'll treat it like we do the local media. Let them come in. Little did I know that now our PIO email has 400 national media outlets on there. I went from like 9 o'clock the first day, Monday morning, to a good 9, 10 o'clock Monday night, trying to interview everybody. I can't do that. That's not productive. So we thought, okay, we'll hold the press conference tomorrow morning, Tuesday. We didn't have a whole lot to talk about. It wasn't like the sheriff was trying to hide stuff. What it is the sheriff's asking questions, being asked questions about things that either one, I don't want you to know too much about because I don't know what my investigative team knows about those that information. I need a chance to sit with them and debrief with them. So we allowed the questions. It was chaotic. I'll take that. That's on me. But we scheduled another press conference after hearing all those questions, mainly about timelines and evidence. Okay. 2 days later.
Let's see what the next question is after this, and then I'll stop it.
Press conference. I hope it went a little bit more orderly. Answered a lot of questions, and what they were told is exactly what's happened now. We're not doing press conferences anymore unless there's a reason to have a press conference. We don't need press conferences just because we want to have a press conference. We need information that's out there to the public that is critical. And so we've used you. That video we got, somebody said, oh, they've held that video, those pictures for days. We held that video for less than 2 hours. It came in, the FBI and us both sat there and said, we need this out there. This is our guy. Yeah. So nothing's being held back. There's no, the FBI is being blocked. I don't make those decisions. We discuss them.
Dr. Jordan, is he defensive or is he making a point here? What do you think?
He redeemed himself a lot, I think, with that interview. First of all, he had a D minus for going to the basketball game, but he gets A plus for communication on this one. Mm. And I would say it's a little late, honestly. I wish he had, like, when the video came out, he should say, be on the record. This came out 2 hours ago. So just to stop all of the potential criticism, because everyone loves to be hypervigilant for anything to criticize the police with on this case. So I think he should be a little more preemptive, but I liked that interview. I think he explained a lot of stuff away, and I liked that he is going on the record of like, you don't need a press conference anymore. Get ready. We are withdrawing, okay? That we're going to go back like Homer Simpson into the hedge because this is not a good use of our time to be dealing with you guys at this juncture. We've got to get out there and solve this. I give him an A+ for excellent PR communication. He took a lot of patience with things that, you know, he shouldn't have to explain in so much depth. But yeah, I hope everyone watches that and then quietly lets him go and do his job instead of criticizing him, because that doesn't accomplish anything.
Mm. I just got some video in. I mean, nothing exciting, but if you want to see the media presence, I just posted on Instagram at Surviving the Survivor. Some people are like, what is that dude hosting the show doing? I'm not distracted. I'm always paying attention, but I'm always doing something because there's 75 things to juggle. But on Instagram, we're at Surviving the Survivor. On Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Podcast STS. Yeah, Phil Ramos, I'm just thinking, they came out again today. There are all these statements, no press conference. He said it, no press conference, but he's doing these interviews. I mean, if you were at your desk right now as one of the lead homicide detectives and you have to watch your boss defend himself, is it frustrating? Is it a nuisance? Is it more than that, Phil Ramos?
It's just annoying because you're trying to do a job. You know, something comes up. You know, our office was pretty big. We had 50 some people in our office and the media would be in there all the time. And you don't pay attention to them. You keep doing your job. The only time it becomes a nuisance is when you've got to go up the chain. You got to tell your sergeant, hey, we got this. And then sergeant has to go in there to the lieutenant or the commander and say, we need your time now. So the guys on the ground, the guys that are shuffling the papers and out knocking on the doors, they're not bothered by that. You know, we got a job to do. We're not going to let the press or the media stop us from doing our job.
What about this, Phil? One-on-one interview should not be acceptable in a big case. So what do you think of that? I mean, do you think it should be equitable and they should be, instead of doing this, just have, you know, Phil Waters said a couple of weeks ago with the Tepe murders, he said, look, they just need to throw some red meat at the media. Just tell them something, if anything, if just to tell them they have nothing to say. Is that what they should be doing instead?
Well, you know, there's no protocol for that. That's up to the department head. You know, I've worked for lieutenants and sheriffs that have told the media, hey, get out of here. I'll call you if there's something to talk about, and wouldn't grant an interview at all. Then I've had some department heads that are love to hear themselves speak and like to see themselves on TV. It all depends on who the boss is and what his personality is. It's there's no protocol, I don't think, by any standard from department to department. It's just whatever the boss man wants to do.
Look at this. Joel, comment kind of offensive about watching grandpa's. Not very, wasn't my comment. I didn't make
it. I am.
Yeah.
Bill, you are, right?
I am. I'm a grandpa 6 times.
We are. Not insulting, but can I say something
real quick? Please, Phil. Well, I didn't say it.
I agree. I agree with Casey 100%.
Yeah.
And these people clamoring, these people clamoring for a press conference. I mean, really? And they think that there's something going on here. Well, that is idiotic. And they don't know what they're talking about. I'm sorry. The sheriff did the right thing here. He sat down and very calmly explained. And I noticed some people, he's chopping. Well, no, he's not. There's a big difference between using hand gestures and chopping. So he's not chopping. And he's not defensive. He's simply explaining the backstory to all the freaking rumors that are out there from unnamed sources. So I think he did a very good job. And I'll tell you what, I will contrast him with the chief of police in Moscow, Idaho. Mm. They did the same thing to this chief, to that chief. On him every day, criticizing every day. He needs to turn it over to the FBI, turn it over to the state. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. He needs to have more press conference, blah, blah, blah. And now the difference is that chief handled that kind of pressure with much more poise, and he was better at keeping his composure. He was the same every time he got up in front of those microphones. Anytime someone talked to him, he was the same guy. And then when it was all over, and they made the arrest. Because if you remember, there's all sorts of people doing the same kind of crap in that investigation that they're doing now. Same stuff. Then all of a sudden, they've got the evildoer in custody. And what did the that chief do? He walked out there in front of all those people, criticizing him, telling him he needed to resign, telling him he needed to do this and that, and blah, 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 blah. And I was amazed at the amount of grace that chief showed all of those critics. He thanked the media. He thanked the public for all the input that had helped them get to where they needed to be. So that's the difference here. And I'm glad the sheriff has done this in an interview where he's sitting down one-on-one with somebody, and this is the real guy. I've said from the beginning that he strikes me as being a real cop. He's not a politician. He's not a polished public speaker. He's not that guy. He's not somebody's publicist. And so, but today you saw the real guy. And he got out there and he was sincere. And he explained simply a way, I think, I agree with Casey. He explained the crap away. He got the crap off the table. Now, if people don't want to accept it, that's their problem. That's not his problem.
Totally unrelated to this, but the reason I back the blue, you should respect law enforcement, because when they're in uniform, they're in danger. And there was just a mass stabbing of police officers near the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, some sort of mass stabbing of police officers. I don't know what's the matter with this world, but it's got to get back on its axis here. So please say a prayer for those police officers. Unreal. Dr. Jordan, just a couple more minutes. So we're going to wrap up. We're day 13 here. If anything breaks tonight, by the way, we'll be back on. I'm not sure how, but we'll be back on. Also, I did a short 21-minute piece with Dr. G Explains. He is a world-renowned body language and behavior expert, and he also has a theory on this case. It might be posted already, but it will be posted on the video tab, and he takes a good, hard look at the Nest Man, as I'm calling him, at Nest Man, and he breaks that down. But Dr. Jordan, back to you. A couple more things on this. Sheriff Nanos did not confirm to Fox News if there was forced entry at Nancy Guthrie's house or whether the front door or back door was used. He did confirm that was her blood found outside her home and that her DNA was recovered on the inside, but he could not confirm whether the DNA was blood on the inside. But People are wondering and questioning, was it a forced entry? And he's not given the answer, which I assume is smart, because only law enforcement knows your response to that.
Yeah, because we don't need to know. Why do we need to know that? We don't need to know. Okay, so what good does that do us except feeding our prurient, like wanting to just be in that house? And, you know, this is not a novel. This is real life. This is a real 84-year-old lady who's missing. And we know what holdbacks are, and of course they have them. It is none of our freaking business how he got in there. The police are the ones who need to know that. They need to have a lot of holdbacks. And earlier, I almost, I'm a little zippy. I almost interrupted Phil Waters because I wanted to piggyback on what he was saying by saying, we don't need them to just catch guy on the porch. We need this case to be prosecutable. All right. And getting him is one thing, but having all of the evidence perfect so that no highly paid defense attorney can pick it apart and go, wait, you had leads to TMZ that you didn't follow up on? What? The FBI didn't know what the sheriff's department was doing? We need this guy not just to be caught, but assuming he doesn't go down in a firestorm and out in a casket, we need to be able to successfully prosecute this case. And that's when I put my lawyer hat on instead of criminologist. My gosh, there are so many ways this thing could go south. We do not need law enforcement none of this is good if it compromises when we find Mr. Guy on the porch, Mr. Nest Camera Guy. And we will. I'm very confident we will. We have got to be able to throw the book at him with evidence that sticks. And the more infighting and the more disagreement, why didn't you send to the FBI lab? Why'd you send to Florida? Why, how come we don't know? Is this lighter? Is it over there? We don't need to know. And the less we know, the more prosecutable this case will be.
There you go, Dr. Casey.
Back on what Casey just said, I will tell you this. When they do get this person in custody, and when they do bring him to a trial, if they do bring him to a trial, that business, all that conflict bullcrap, you can bet your bottom dollar that the defense attorneys are going to glom onto that as quick as they can.
Oh, for sure.
He's absolutely right.
For sure. This is what Dr. G broke down. It'll be under the video tab literally after the show if you want to check it out. He is really interesting when it comes to breaking down body language and body behavior. Dr. Casey Jordan is equally interesting. Criminologist, attorney, behaviorist, you name it, in crime, she does it. Dr. Jordan, Greg Rogers, by the way, a retired FBI who was with us at the beginning, he says he's concerned about the FBI because they raised the reward to $100,000. Are you concerned by that news? Does that mean that we are lacking leads? And you said they're going to catch Nestman. How soon? Your final thoughts.
Asking me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. I do think that we see the increasing rewards actually work a lot. Okay. And I think here's the bottom line. Stop calling TMZ. If you really think you know who did this, you would be calling the 1-800 number of the FBI tip line, or you would be calling Pima County sheriffs. End of story. Yes, here's the bottom line. There was some inference with that TMZ thing. I'm afraid for my freedom. What flagged for me is this guy is undocumented and he is afraid. This is why he doesn't trust the police. Okay. That's just needs to be a consideration. It would go leagues if the FBI and the police came forward and said, we don't care about your documentation status. Call the anonymous tip line. You will not be in trouble if you are undocumented. We guarantee that. I really wish they would do that.
I'm sorry. I missed part of that. Who is this now? If who is undocumented?
So the guy who wrote to TMZ, who's saying he knows, he kept inferring that if he doesn't trust the police because he's afraid of for his freedom.
Got it.
So my reading between the lines on that is that he's undocumented and he is like, I'm not calling the 1-800 tip line. They're going to show up to take my statement, arrest me and send me back to my native country. And that's why I want a Bitcoin. I don't want $100,000. I'll give you a discount, one Bitcoin. So I would really like to see a statement, a public statement that they can't go back on that reassures the undocumented community that they can make tips on the anonymous tip line and not worry that they will be arrested for being undocumented if they come for an interview. I would love to see that happen. I really think that this could be an important turning point with getting the right tips in. I don't think it's Bitcoin guy, but the point is that it's occurring to me that this has a really big chilling effect. I don't care how you feel about undocumented people. There are a lot of them in Arizona, and I would really like to see that just lifted off your brain so that if you have any information, you call that tip line and do not worry that people are going to come to your doorstep and put you in handcuffs.
Good point. Just
can I say something there?
Yeah, just
I'm going to agree with Casey 100% again, twice in one. So, and look, that crime, we deal with Crime Stoppers. So there's Crime Stoppers all over the country. And let me tell you, the detectives, cannot get the identity of the caller. The detectives involved in the case cannot get it unless the caller wants to talk to us in person.
Wow.
The anonymity that I tell you, the efforts that they go to the tipster remaining anonymous is unbelievable. And then when they're paid, it's like they send them a number, they go to a certain place and boom, they get their money. And nobody knows the difference. Nobody knows any wiser about how that happened. So she's right. You know, and I interviewed a lot of people in the course of murder investigations, homicide investigations, where they were illegal and that was what they were thinking about. That's what was foremost on their mind. And I would have to tell them, I've sat in the room and assured them, many of them through a translator, look, that's not the issue here. I don't care about that. What I care about is the information that you have that may bring us to the right person who did this horrible thing. And every time, once I make that clear, there's been success in getting the information we need. So she's absolutely right. And that is something that needs to be put out there. I think that's an excellent idea. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, that is Phil Waters, legendary homicide detective, investigated over 400 homicides for the Houston PD. You got Dr. Casey Jordan and Phil Ramos will get the last word tonight. He is retired Las Vegas Metropolitan homicide, 33 years, I think, in the force, also an undercover narcotics officer. Phil Ramos, one big thing that nobody has here is proof of life. Forget the reward, no proof of life. How disconcerting is that? Your final thoughts? Are we going to get a break in this case soon, I hope? What do you think?
I think we are going to get a break in the case, but the issue of no proof of life just completely throws out, in my view, the kidnapping aspect of it. Because think about it logically. You know, like I say all the time, we got to think like a bad guy and think what a bad guy's going to do so we can stay ahead of him. Bad guy's got a person who he wants to trade for a lot of money, not going to let her die. He's going to take care of her. And he's going to prove that. He's going to say, look, here, say hi, Mom. Hi. That's not happening. That hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. This whole TMZ nonsense should just be completely done. And I'm hoping, I still have my fingers crossed, that there's going to be a favorable resolution. But big but, man, I just don't see it. But they're not going to quit. They're not going to give up. I don't expect this to ever become a cold case. I think they're going to work it and work it and work it until there's just absolutely no place to go. Or somebody stumbles across something out in the desert.
Phil Ramos, your lighting and sound is impeccable. The COE sent him some stuff. So try to take care of our guests. Huge thank you to these three. They've been on a lot this week. If anything breaks this weekend, they know I'm calling them. On that note, let's bring Nancy home. Love you, America. Love you, Houston. Love you, Vegas. Love you, Massachusetts. Love you, Tucson or Connecticut. Love you, Tucson, Arizona. And bring Nancy home. Guess stick around, Nancy.